Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
What you wanted us to be. We are what we are. That's the way it's going to be. If you don't know, you can't educate us for no equal opportunity. Talking about my freedom. People.
Morning. It's Thursday, February 8th, And you hear it off the beaten path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. You were just listening to Robert Nesta Marley. It was his birthday on Tuesday. And it's never a bad time to listen to some Bob, especially the type of Bob that, you know, just it just gets you in the mood for Black History Month. You know, this is our second installment of Black History Month, and every week I'm going to bring you not only some music but also some inspiration. You know, just to like, so you can feel good about going through the month, because they will try you. And listen, and if you know who they is, you've probably been tried this month. And sometimes you need a little extra. You know, you need a little extra strength to just get through, because it happens to all of us. And I'll be telling you about my story, maybe about if you're listening, and maybe you feel that, you know, Black History Month isn't for you. I'm going to tell you exactly why it is and why you should listen to later coming up in the episode. But if you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path here, we do this every week from 7 to 8. We like to talk about some local news here in the Lower Mainland. We like to talk about some national news in Canada in general. We like to talk about some news from down south. Occasionally some funny stories. Some interesting stories. Oh, and we like to introduce you to music. New music. From time to time, we'll have some guests on, you know, some comedians, some smart people, some of my friends who happen to be smart people or comedians. Just really interesting, smart people to have intelligent conversations here. Because what we like to do is we like to inform you and send you off on in your rest of your week feeling good or feeling better. And by better, I mean just maybe a little smarter. Can't help all of you, though. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And what we like to do is we like to start off with the weather, because just give you just a little bit of a glimpse into the weekend. So if you're brushing your teeth, you're getting ready for work, maybe you're a kid and you're like, you know what, I really like that radio show on Thursday, I learn something every week. And you know, and you're getting ready for school. Or maybe you're at a job that you know, wish you weren't at, and you just want, you know, like a nice little hour, just a little break. Today is going to be a pretty warm day, a high of 9, with little to no rain. And this weekend is looking very good for the weather. So you can enjoy your family day, particularly on Monday, where it's going to be a high of 6 and very sunny with zero chance of precipitation. So if you want to get out, this weekend is perfect to have a long weekend. One of the things I like about living in here in Canada, particularly in Vancouver, is you have holidays like Family Day just to remind you, you know, you need to spend a day with your family because it's important. If you are, you know, you have a special friend or maybe special friends that you want to take out for Valentine's Day next Tuesday, the rain will be back on. I mean, and Valentine's Day is Wednesday, but it wouldn't hurt to make your preparations on Tuesday, particularly those dudes, if you're listening. Probably not, because those aren't the type of people who wake up before 10 o'clock. But don't forget Valentine's Day if you have a person or partner who you know would get upset about that. So just a reminder, do something for Valentine's Day. And when we get back, actually, no, we're just going to jump right into it. We're going to jump right into what's going on here in BC. So if you You know, here in BC, there's really only a few things that we talk about. We talk about housing, we talk about homelessness, and we talk about drugs. However, you know, occasionally we talk about the pipelines. And last week we talked about what does it mean to have the pipeline come from Alberta to the BC coastline. And this week the Alberta Premier Rachel Notley pretty much declared war on BC's wine industry. So if you don't know, British Columbia has a significant wine industry, particularly out of the interior, and the Alberta Premier just banned BC wines in response to the British Columbians making it more difficult for the pipeline to go through, affecting Albertans and their economy. And it sparked lots of things, but particularly one, people were trying to think about what were they going to ban from Alberta, and also it sparked people going to their BC liquor stores or going to their local liquor stores and buying British Columbia wine and saying that, hey, we are doing our job to support, you know, our local economy. And that's something that's like a protest that I would like to partake in. Is, yeah, Alberta, you can't do that. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to supplement the wine purchases ourselves and ban Albertans instead. Because, listen, I'm not going to say that they should build a wall from here to Alberta, because, like, I'd like to see Banff still, and that's in Alberta. However, the people who've said the most backwards things to me here, particularly the things that would bother someone, especially during the month of February, were from Alberta. And that, listen, I'm not giving you British Columbian people a pass. However, I will acknowledge that there is a little bit of a difference between the way that I feel on a grand scale treated from Albertans to people from British Columbia. And so if they're going to ban BC wine, we should just ban Albertans. But not all of them, because, listen, there's some Albertans that I hold near and dear to my heart. However, we got to make the largest sacrifices. And, you know, the pipeline, we'll be able to find new friends. The Olympics is starting here. The Winter Olympics is starting, not here, but in South Korea. And what does that mean for Canada? It's very interesting, because I was asking a few people yesterday about, you know, when did Canada get so, is Canada good at the Winter Olympics? And my response was that they didn't get good until the Olympics were held here in Vancouver. And there will be a few competitors here from British Columbia. And so I feel like being a resident Canadian, because I just live here. So being a resident Canadian, it will be important that for the next 2 weeks, or for the next week and a half, you know, you support your, you support your country in the competition. Because when it comes down to it, like, this is really the pride of Canada, that the Winter Olympics, because in the summer, that belongs to Jamaica and belongs to America. And we're going to get into something that you should never say to a black person during Black History Month, or particularly never should say to a black person during the 12 months of the lunar year. And it revolves around the Olympics. When we get back, going to go a little bit deeper into that. and other things. So, stay tuned.
Mariana. Mariana.
I'm a proud black younger boy with a killer flow. Listen to the year that he listen to it blow. Brother boys, younger boys, all the way from Adam Land.
Is growing, I'm using my manic air. The river is flowing. Can you feel the wind blowing? Young one, my little market. Me, I'm so Mariana, 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 Mariana.
You guys see that?
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And just listening to Mariana is Baker Boy, is an Aboriginal rapper out of Australia. And if you didn't know, there's black people all over the world. Not only is there black people all over the world, black people probably were there first. And this week, I wanted to do the... So last week, we talked a little bit about black cowboys. And this week, before we start talking about Tesla and we start talking, you know, about some of the, you know, the rich people of today, I thought we should, you know, take a step back because one of the, I guess, when we're growing up, like one of the most empowering historical figures that I was taught about, you know, it was Mansa Musa. So if you don't know who Mansa Musa, he was the king of Mali who lived during the 13th and 14th century. And so when you think about Mali, you think about like the current country today, which is a landlocked country. On, you know, not even on the West Coast, but in the West of Africa, particularly in the Sahara, like Northwest Africa. But when you think about these African empires, you have to first look at a map of, you know, what the empire looked like. And so Mansa Musa was the king of Mali, who was, just until a few years ago, was believed to be the richest man in the world ever. He was the king of Mali, which stretched basically from the coast of West Africa, so from it's like modern-day Ghana and Senegal, Gambia, Guinea area, all the way east as to where Mali stands today. And so Mansa Musa was so rich. He was also the first Muslim leader, Muslim like head of state in Africa. And he was so rich that when he made his pilgrimage to Mecca, which you have to understand is a thousands of mile journey through the Sahara, he was so rich that not only did he build a mosque in every city, which he stopped at, but he gave away so much gold that he, by himself, changed the economy in the Persian region of going through Egypt and to Mecca. And like in this time where, you know, where we are getting to understand like just like what these societies look like back in, you know, the 13th, 14th, 15th century. I don't know if like that really for me, like that really, it really interests me, because understanding about where, what those times look like, and then so what we, and then what we like to think about today, sometimes the ideas don't fit in our minds to not only what used to look like, but what it can look like and what these things do look like. And so for the next 200 years after Mansa Musa's pilgrimage, when map makers were making maps of Africa, they consistently held him as like the standard and talked about how much gold and minerals and all types of things were in West Africa, and particularly how large these empire was, particularly in the from the capital in Songhai in Timbuktu. And so there is mosques that still stand to this day from that, from his era. So if you are inclined to go look or to check in on the internet, you can look at the Great Mosque in Timbuktu, and you can see just how massive these structures are, and understand that there has been big empires, particularly during the late 13th and late 14th, that didn't include nothing to do with the Persian or the Roman or the Byzantine empires that were up north. And not only that, but Mali and Songhai weren't the last empires that were inhabited these regions. They lasted up until modern day colonialism, and then to this day, you know, we see that it wasn't so long ago that these nations existed, and they, and in the future, the autonomy will come back. And so another interesting Black history fact that I found a few days ago was that Hank Aaron holds more than one Guinness Book of World Records. So I thought that, so I saw this come up on the, on my Twitter about how Hank Aaron held Guinness Book of World Record, in which, so if you don't know who Hank Aaron is, Hank Aaron used to play baseball for the Atlanta Braves, and at one time he held the all-time home run record, and the record for the most home runs in a season. And so thinking about what his Guinness Book of World Record might be, you might imagine that it would be something related to baseball. But it is indeed not. The world record that he currently holds is for the most mail received in a year by a private citizen, and he held that for 1974, and that was the year that he broke the home run record. And not surprising, about half of that mail was hate mail. So, you know, in 1974, he received 450,000 letters of hate mail for breaking the world record. And we see continually that they aren't going to get that record back. And they're putting Barry Bonds in they're retiring his jersey in San Francisco. And so Barry Bonds, who came up and was looked favorably upon by all of the baseball greats, now the home run record holder. Even if he used steroids, he's still on my team. So I got into this this talk yesterday with some people about, particularly about, like, it was about what fact would make you, like, what fact in, like, 40 years, when you are, you know, in your 40s or 50s, I was thinking about myself, what fact would a little kid tell me that was, like, found out to be not true, or maybe true, but just people were skeptical about it, would make you mad? Because when I was in the 12th grade, I told my AP U.S. history teacher that we never went to the moon, and I've never seen somebody get so mad, start breaking stuff, had to go outside, smoke a cigarette, flip the desk, and all that, you know, and it was just, I saw a documentary that said we never did that, and furious. And so yesterday I was having a conversation about what fact, and I said that if a kid told me that Usain Bolt was on steroids, you know, 20, 30 years from now, I would be pissed. Like, it probably the only thing that would probably make me want to put my hands on a kid, because I just feel so deeply that was such a defining moment. It was so proud for me. And then someone said to me that, you know, the record would be broken. And I said, yeah, by another Jamaican. And they looked at me and said that is the benefit of slavery. And this is a PSA for anybody who's listening to this show, who, you know, if you feel like you never learn anything, but if you learn one thing, you should never, never, never say anything about the benefits of slavery to somebody, because the person who you say that to will never forget it. And not only will they never forget it, everything that you say in the future will be looked at with a veil of skepticism and questioning, and for good reason, because there's a lot of people walking around who don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. And so when you give it to someone, you just make sure you got to watch them. So if somebody says that to you, make sure you watch that person. And if you say that to somebody, just know you are being watched for the rest of those person's days. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about all of the news that was going on this week, particularly Quincy Jones has been given interviews because he's got a show coming out, and I think this is probably the best thing that's ever happened. If you haven't read the interviews, you can probably catch it up in the next 3 minutes while I play a few songs. And we're going to talk about how females are taking over the world. We'll be back.
Here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis.
Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC, or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
take no money giving you.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
I was wondering about our yesterdays and digging through the rubble. And to say the least, somebody went to a hell of a lot of trouble to make sure that when we looked things up, we wouldn't fare too well. And we would come up with totally unreliable pictures of ourselves. But I've compiled what few facts I could, I mean, such as they are, to see if we could find out a little bit of something. And this is what I got so far. First, white folks discovered Africa. They claimed it fair and square. Cecil Rhodes couldn't have been robbing nobody because, hell, there wasn't nobody there. And white folks brought all the civilization because there wasn't none around. How could the folks be civilized when wasn't nobody writing nothing down? And just to prove all of their suspicions, well, didn't take too long. They found out that there were whole tribes of people in plain sight running around with no clothes on. That's right. The men, the women, the young, and the old righteous folks covered their eyes. And no time was spent considering the environment. Hell no, this just wasn't civilized. And another piece of information they had, or at least this is what we were taught, is that unlike the civilized people of Europe, these tribal units actually fought. And yes, there were some crude implements, and yes, there was primitive art. And yes, they were masters of hunting and fishing, and courtesy came from the heart. And yes, there was love and medicine, religion, intertribal communication by drum. But no paper, no pencils, and no other utensils. And hell, these folks never even heard of a gun. And this is why the colonies came, to stabilize the land. Because the Dark Continent had copper and gold, and the discoverers had themselves a plan. They would discover all the places with promise. You didn't need no titles and deeds. Then they would appoint people to make everything legal, to sanction the trickery and greed. And back in the jungle, when the natives got restless, they would call it guerrilla attack. And they would never describe that the folks finally got wise and decided that they would fight back. And still, we are victims of word games. Semantics is always a bitch. Places once referred to as underdeveloped are now called mineral rich. And the game goes on eternally, unity kept just beyond reach. Egypt and Libya used to be in Africa. They've now been moved to the Middle East. There are examples galore, I assure you. But if interpreting were left up to me, I'd be sure every time folks knew this version wasn't mine, which is why it is called His Story. A lot of people may well see Ryan this Fest. Particular...
Brand new.
I don't like it unless it's... Brand new. You might see me in my... Well, with my... Pumping my shit. You don't like it, get off my dick, nigga.
I don't like it unless it's you might see me in my wig with my bitch pumping my brand shit. You don't like it, get off my dick. They say your attitude determines your latitude. I'm high as a motherfucker, fly as a motherfucker, and still the motherfucker you love to hate, but can't because you love what I make. Now ain't that about a bitch?
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, and if you'd like to call in the number 604-822-2487, that's 604-822-UBCCITR. Just listen to Gil Scott Heron and History. So if you have been reading anything this past week, what you should have read was Quincy Jones's articles in the GQ and one in Variety. So you should start with, if you haven't, you should definitely check it out. You should start with the GQ article because one, I thought the interview was a lot more polished. But also you can see just the incredible accomplishments of this man. Like, not only has this person, Quincy Jones, so if you don't know, so I was first introduced to Quincy Jones through his work with Michael Jackson. And so learning about this, so really going back and learning some more is very interesting to me, because just to see how he got to the point where he is at right now and where he's been, you see just like the levels and how history connects. Like, this is someone who used to hang with Frank Sinatra and then made music with Michael Jackson, and now he basically does whatever the hell he wants because he's Quincy Jones. Like, he wrote and produced The Color Purple. He did Thriller. Like, what? And then this person, and then you just have to listen to the stories. But yesterday he dropped an interview where he revealed, that he dated Ivanka Trump, and he knows about Marlon Brando smashing all types of dudes that you would never even think. And the most incredible part about the interview yesterday is that there were no follow up questions. It's just so much stuff I don't understand. I even tried to like reverse look up who the writer of the article was, because it doesn't make sense. And the writer of the article is just as corny as you would have thought he looked. Definitely could have went with somebody else, particularly February for that interview, which I thought might have been better, and they might have done a better job with the interview. But if you haven't checked it out, you should definitely check it out, because you should read the interviews before Quest TV comes out, which was going to be an 8-part documentary about his life. It's interesting. He talked about who would play him, and he talks about Danny Glover. And you just think, like, man, Childish Gambino, dude is just in everything and everywhere. Like, this show is on 40 years from now. I'm sure he will be probably talked about in the same spaces we talk about some of these other entertainers that we have had for 4 or 5 decades of just goodness that comes out. And no, Atlanta 2 is coming out. Listen, we got Star Wars. He's going to be in so much stuff, and he's going to play Quincy Jones. Maybe not now, but sooner than later. So, if you hadn't known, I would say before we get into something like super serious, we're going to talk. So I said how females are taking over the world. Well, when I say females, I am obviously not referring to women, referring to there is a species of crawfish that in one single mutation has eradicated all of the males out of their population. So there is a... gonna so there is a crawfish here in America that has basically one mutation has eradicated the male species, it's only females now, and so through asexual reproduction they are able to multiply and have been multiplying faster and faster than before. And I made a joke on Twitter that nobody laughed at, but I just thought it was interesting, maybe some foreshadowing for what is going on, because I'm sure that if all men were to perish and women were still able to reproduce, they would choose that 100% of the time. See, like, I'm pretty confident that women could do just fine without men, as long as they were, you know, they could reproduce. Because, I mean, I don't want to get into, you know, the biology, but there's not much more. There's not much more we offer, especially in today's age, like where we think of, you know, like men's characteristics as having brute strength and being the warriors and really being the protectors of the group. You know, we live in a society that benefits a lot from not needing those type of characteristics anymore. Like, there's only very few situations where men need to actually physically protect their group. And a lot of those times it's from other men. So imagine if, you know, women could just write us off out of the equation, they'd be better off. So I think that we need, as a population, as a male population, we need to take heed and notice about, you know, these things that are going on in our world, even if they are crustaceans, and see that maybe, just maybe, we should change our ways. Because I was reading a story the other day about a woman who was murdered by her boyfriend, who she had broken up with 2 weeks earlier and had alerted the authorities and had got a filed a restraining order and, you know, had told her friends and had basically did everything that they, you know, quote unquote, you know, that they tell, you know, women to do to make sure that they're safe. But it didn't save her. So, you know, and it's interesting because when you see the comments, you see exactly exactly some of the reasons why, you know, women, rightfully so, are so not scared, but, you know, just to have a heightened awareness around men. Because one of the comments, particularly the poster that I saw, she posted that said, okay, you know, men are afraid of being laughed at in girls' group chats, and women are afraid of being murdered by men. And so we talked about, I didn't talk about this on air last week, but talking about it with a friend about how if you look at the statistics in the cause of death from women under the age of 35, homicide is either number three or number two, depending on which age group and the demographic you're looking at. And that's so crazy when you think about it, because, you know, I mean, rarely do you hear about women killing each other. Women, it's mostly, mostly always a male man killing a woman. And so when you think about, you know, we just talked about these dynamics about, you know, what are, you know, men don't need protection. I mean, men, you know, and they don't need to protect particularly. What we do need to do is protect men clearly from other men. And so if you have a friend or you know someone who is, you know, who you suspect to, you know, maybe harbor these types of feelings towards women, or you think, you know, this could potentially be, you know, you have a friend who you think goes over the line, you need to remember, you need to make sure that you say something to him and stop and, you know, do your part in preventing these types of things. Because it doesn't always start off as a murder. I'm sure that this guy has shown other signs, like at the bar over the weekend. You know, I was telling a story about how we kicked this guy out before groping women. And after we kicked him out, many other women approached us and told us just how often this guy has done this to them, not just that night particularly, but past nights. And so you see, just like even in a trusted environment, you know, these women have gotten so used to a minimum level of abuse that it takes like an egregious, that takes something so egregious for them to come forward. And it's because they don't feel safe, or they don't feel like men would do anything. So you men have to show and prove that you are willing to step up and take action against other dudes, or risk going the way of the male crawfish. Because, you know, while it's a joke about the crawfish going away, women needing protection from men is serious and something that all women think about, whether that is your sister or your girlfriend or your mother, your aunt. And it shouldn't just be something that they think about. It should be something that you as a man think about as well. And getting back into something that men think about, clearly the men who work for the Dorito team marketing team weren't thinking. So if you hadn't seen this past week, Doritos announced that they would come out with a Lady Dorito. So the Lady Dorito has characteristics like it doesn't make a sound when you crunch it, and it doesn't like leave Dorito seasoning on your fingers. It is, I'm sure, like when the bag comes out, it'll be like pink or baby blue or pink or some type of pastel. It probably would say like low fat or low calorie, like, and so it was marketed as Lady Dorito. And so, like, I can only imagine that these people were, you know, sitting in a boardroom having a conversation about some of the research that they had just taken a look at. So they probably saw that, like, women, you know, they don't like it's the crunch, something about the crunch that they really get some. Or, you know, it's like, oh, it's messy. Like, women don't like messy. And so they're like, oh, you know what we should do? We should create a Lady Dorito. Because there's a sizable demographic. So they probably looked at this. There's a sizable demographic of women who really don't like, you know, there's a sizable demographic of women who really like gender norms. You know, who are yearning for the days to go back when their razors are pink and they can identify, you know, which soap that they should use because it'll have a pink box. You know what? And we're going to fill that supply for those women and make that niche so those women come to us for their chip satisfaction. And while doing that, I say it has to be men because what they would have found out is that, you know, quickly, or is that you're going to, not only are you going to, probably, not only is that strategy probably not going to work, but you're going to alienate all the women who don't, not only the women who don't eat chips, but the women who don't eat your chips, and you're going to spark a huge backlash. And it seems that sometimes, or maybe most recently, that this backlash is part of the strategy that some of these companies have because, or I feel like so many people wouldn't do it. Like, it just seems sometimes as if these things are calculated so that we can talk about Lady Doritos, or we can talk about Doritos in general, because it's the only way for them to make a splash, even if it's the wrong one. I mean, we've seen this with, we started with the Pepsi commercial, and we see this, you know, with these ads that come out that are, you know, that always have like a hint of controversy where they get talked about in the news. But this one is just the latest one. And knowing how many people need to sign off on, like particularly a new product, such a new product coming from a large Pepsi organization like Doritos, just makes you think that, one, it is very intentional. And if they didn't anticipate this backlash, how not? When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about jail. And then another lesson in just how awful capitalism and some people's ideas can be.
Hey, hey, hey. chitestrate nihlanganisela yena angamboni angamboni ngihleli namachitestrate nihlanganisela yena angamboni angamboni noma ungahamba uzonikhumbula noma ungahamba uzonikhumbula
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. I just noticed I'm playing music from all over the world. Listen, there are black people everywhere, and they make music everywhere, and make hot music everywhere. That's what we do. I think next week we are going to have a women-only music selection, because I just noticed that all the guys I got, all of the people I have this week are all dudes. So next week, I'm going to switch it up. All women. So if you haven't heard about what's going on, so we only got 5 minutes left. We got 5 minutes left to get to it. We got so much to get through. So we talked a lot about, like Baltimore, particularly last year with the, you know, with everything that went on with the Freddie Gray case and the outrage, the rightful outrage that people had, and the backlash to the outrage, you know, and we saw that in respect to how they treated Colin Kaepernick throughout the season. And I just, you know, and it feels like forever ago, but the Super Bowl was only on Sunday. And so if you were one of those people who were upset, you know, about the backlash, about like people, you know, people burning down buildings and people, about say buildings, but a CVS, you know, people upset about the Freddie Gray case and people believing that there was, you know, some corruption, and you were mad about people kneeling because people wanted to be rightfully treated. You know, as citizens, we need to deserve to be rightful treatment. There's two things that I think that you should learn in the next segment is that one, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so you had a guy in Chris Long, who was so moved by not only his teammates, but by Kaepernick and by his hometown of Charlottesville, Virginia, and their white riots where 19 people were injured and one woman was killed. He was so moved that he gave up his entire yearly salary to pledge towards organizations that were helping basically change America. And by Malcolm Jenkins, who was one of the leaders in the Players Coalition, who went and negotiated with the NFL about talking about the issues that were plaging the issues that are plaguing our country and the NFL's duty. So the team who had two of the most prominent activists in the NFL, I would say after Colin Kaepernick, won the Super Bowl. So how can you say that not only were they a distraction, but they won the Super Bowl? But getting back to what you're saying, so in Baltimore, right now there's a gun task force case going on where we're seeing just how high the level of corruption goes to. So it goes all the way to the police chief talking to officers about what they should do if they get into a bad shooting. Talks about officers who have stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars, officers who've been murdered right before they're due to testify, and with no way of finding out who did it. And you see all of this rightful anger. And then even there was a story yesterday. Now, this one might be funny. So there was a man in a Baltimore prison who has impregnated four guards at one time. And it's been known that they bring him contraband. They put money on his commissary. They bought him cars. Like, what the hell does somebody in jail need a car for? And just all these other things. So not only is it outside of the prison in the institutions, that we like to think of, you know, as pure, like the police, but it's also in the jails where we hold the people that they have sent unlawfully. So if you don't believe that people, particularly the people of Baltimore, so we don't even have to, like, extrapolate the idea that this police department, which it most likely is, you know, is a like real mirror to police departments around the country. But if you just want to talk about Baltimore specifically, it's hard to say that the rage that they had two summers ago wasn't 100% justified. Just seeing on how we are, just seeing on like what has transpired in the past few weeks. Now, for the last thing, I saw on, you know what? We're going to get to that next week. Thank you for tuning in to Off the Beaten Path this Thursday. We do this every week, every Thursday. And if you'd like to find the old episodes, you can find it on facebook.com/otbp20xx or mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. Or if you want to hear my voice, you can hear it on Crimes and Treasons every Tuesday from 8 to 10 with Horsepower, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rels, Jamal Steeles, and myself. Next week, we're going to have Cut Corners on. And listen, you don't want to miss an episode with Cut Corners on, because not only is he a great DJ, but he's also a very, very cool